Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Jennifer Zamperali, 2FM. Good morning, my friends. Now, almost 10 years ago, Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 disappeared off radar screens, never to be seen again. Or did it? Now, theories about what happened and why were absolutely everywhere. So back with me again to talk about the story and the conspiracy theories that try to explain it all. Sophie White, good morning.
Hello, how are
you? Hello, hello, hello. Okay, take us back to March 2014. What happened and how long did the search go on for?
Well, okay, so it's pretty mad. It all started as a completely standard red-eye flight from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing.
Okay.
And there was 239 passengers and crew on board, and it was never seen again. So basically, what we know for definite is that it took off okay, took off into the night. It was a standard Boeing 777 jet. And about 42 minutes after midnight was when it took off. And we had two pilots. Farouk Hamid was 27 and he was one training flight away from full certification. And then there was a very seasoned pilot, Sahari Ahmed Shah, who was 53, one of the most respected pilots in Malaysian Airlines. And basically, most of the people aboard were Chinese. There was about 38 Malaysians and there was citizens from a lot of other countries, France, India, the US. The first 40 minutes of the flight were unremarkable. And so basically, when you're flying in a plane, you're kind of occupying different sort of like air spaces that, you know, are kind of under the kind of jurisdiction of
yes.
different countries.
Yes.
So basically, the flight was leaving Malaysian airspace and it was about to pass into Vietnamese airspace. And so when that happens on a flight, you're kind of transferred over to the kind of the new lads on the ground who keep an eye on you, because there's like basically never any time when commercial airplanes are not known and tracked.
And being looked after and being tracked by
exactly.
air traffic control in the jurisdiction. Yeah, okay.
And so basically seconds after it crossed into Vietnamese airspace, disappeared from radar. Gone. And it was kind of, you know, immediate kind of confusion and shock on the part of the Malaysian air controllers. They were immediately scrambling to try and find the aircraft. As the kind of hours unfolded, loved ones who were waiting in Beijing had this like mounting dread because the flight was never appearing. And it basically kicked off like years long nightmare for these people who have never received any, you know, answers.
So it goes off the radar. There's no panicked phone calls. There's no text messages to loved ones. Just gone.
Gone. Just poof.
Whoa.
Gone. And so they have kind of a sense of like the plane's movements for the next kind of few hours. They pieced it together using, so basically it disappeared from kind of conventional radar as we know it. But there were kind of satellites that did start to kind of track it over the course of the next 6 hours.
Okay.
So what we know is that it was flying into Vietnamese airspace and then it took like a weird sharp left turn and kind of started to head back on itself a bit over the Malay Peninsula, and it then flew northwest for a bit, like, you know, bonkers. Like, it wasn't any kind of flight path that was in any way planned or in the itinerary. And then it began to head out over the Andaman Sea. Again, it totally dropped off radar at this stage, but it was linking up periodically with this satellite that was over the Indian Ocean. And it was, that was a satellite run by a London-based company. And it was only, you know, much after the disappearance that they started to manage to pick it up. And so it was tracked, literally traveling for 6 hours south down towards, you know, down over the Indian Ocean, like seriously remote area of the earth. And they basically believed that it flew straight for hours until it ran out of fuel and most likely plunged into the southern Indian Ocean somewhere between, this is how remote it is, Southwest Australia and Antarctica. Like, there's nothing down there.
So all this tracking, was this done, obviously not done in real time, this was done after the fact, like years later, trying to piece it together and find out what happened. You would think if you were, if that's what happened, you would think as a passenger, a plane taking a sharp right, you know, you would kind
you'd feel that.
I would notice. Yeah. You know when the plane's coming in for a landing or turn, you would notice a sharp right and you would notice in 6 hours.
Oh, you would notice flying. The old 6 hour extended flying. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I think when planes turn, you, as you said, you do kind of notice that like it dips on one side usually, doesn't it?
Yeah.
To kind of make a turn. So there's a few different theories, answer that question of like, were they all sitting there being like, I'm into my third movie of this flight. What's going on? There is a theory that it was a kind of mass murder suicide plot by the pilot.
Okay.
So what they kind of believe is that whoever was flying the plane, and they do believe that it was the senior pilot, Zahari, they think that they probably depressurized the cabin early on, which would have killed everyone on board hours before it ran out of fuel and like spiral dived into the sea at like inconceivable speeds. And so authorities have been quoted as saying, we have quite a bit of data to tell us that the aircraft, if it was being controlled at the end, it wasn't very successfully being controlled, which it's a very eerie thought. And the mass murder suicide by pilot, like, actually is a thing that has taken place extremely rarely, as you can imagine, but you know, it's kind of the most widely accepted narrative. And they definitely believe that Zahari had the expertise to execute such a maneuver, though no known motive, and that is kind of still the official explanation.
Okay, so that is the most likely cause.
Most likely
that they have.
Zahari was married and he had 3 adult children. He's in his 50s, as I said. Everyone on that flight would have been deferential to him. He seemingly had a very comfortable life. He owned 2 houses. He had a flight simulator at home and would frequently fly that and post to online forums about like this, his kind of hobby. And they did, after the fact, most troubling of all, find that on his at-home flight simulator, there was a kind of similarly strange path to the one that they believed the real flight traveled along. And so this also, like, kind of, again, to kind of fuel conspiracy theories, like, the Malaysian authorities, like, you know, haven't been the most transparent about some of their findings. So the fact that the pilot had this similar pathway on his flight simulator at home, you know, wasn't released until 2016. So obviously 2 years after the disaster, and Malaysian authorities had like really hushed that up. And it wasn't until a confidential report was published by New York Magazine that it came to light. And
so that seems like the most likely, unfortunately, and very sadly, cause. But what? So when did the conspiracy theories happen, and what were they? What were the other, you know, what they're saying could be reasons for this happening?
Well, so I think part again of what sort of fueled the conspiracy theories was that no debris was found for over a year. And the very first piece was found in the island of Reunion, and then they started to crop up in Madagascar and Mozambique. And so I think because of that long stretch, you know, just it was all up for debate what had happened, and it was so unusual, like, for an entire plane to disappear. So one of the theories that kind of cropped up was the hijack theory. And so that was that some kind of onboard sort of takeover had taken place. And they, US and Malaysian officials, like went into this, like, you know, absolutely like kind of granular kind of reviewing of the backgrounds of every single passenger on the manifest of the flight. And so they'd ruled out all of the Chinese citizens. They did briefly suspect a passenger who'd worked as a flight engineer for a Swiss jet company. And I guess they thought that he might have the relevant skills to take over a plane and fly it. So speculation mounted that, like, potentially hijackers had taken the plane to a remote island, though, you know, no groups were claiming responsibility, which terrorist groups would often do. And they, so it, there was a lot of like armchair sleuths, you know, devoted to this case. And like, it was mad because like people were, you know, people in the aviation industry, just hobbyists, people all over the world just basically got swept up in this obsession. And like, so, you know, unofficial researchers had identified that there was like more than 600 possible runways on which the plane was capable of landing, because obviously it's a very big plane. And so the credibility, though, of the hijacking theories did kind of
fall through.
Well, it was rocked when they did start to find fragments of the wreckage in July of 2015. So it's really interesting.
Oh my days. I mean, 239 people to vanish off the face of the earth is frightening. Could have been shot down, like the Malaysia Airlines flight that was shot down only a few months later.
I mean, that's it. Yeah, a few months later, another plane belonging to Malaysian Airlines shot down.
But, yeah.
And that obviously added further fuel to the conspiracy fire, because everyone was just like, what is going on over with Malaysian Airlines?
But the fact that it did a sharp turn and travelled for 6 hours in a different direction, that is telling, you know, and kind of feeds into the murder-suicide theory.
Or it could be, again, I always get very caught up in these. So there's kind of an intercept theory that is, it sort of speculates that the US military were trying to prevent mysterious cargo from reaching China. And so that is the shot down theory. And so lots of people say that the flight path kind of disproves the shooting down theory. But if you think about it, there could have been a collaborator on board.
Yeah.
But it could be a combination of the hijack intercept theory. A collaborator on board could have taken control. There could have been agreed upon path that it was going to
I
mean, look at me. I'm like, here we go. There's something here. This conspiracy theory is very, very intriguing.
So many. But imagine the hurt and the pain it caused the family of the pilot, who are saying, oh, the easiest explanation. Oh, it's a murder. It's a murder-suicide.
That
is very distressing and very upsetting. But it's not comforting. But to know that the new theory with the barnacles, and there's still people working on it, even an Irish person working on it, means that they're still searching for answers.
Yeah, I mean, they are now. I mean, they had officially ended the investigation in 2017, which,
okay,
again, like, just devastating for
families.
But like, obviously there is like huge interest still, and, you know, hopefully more resources will be given. Yeah,
239 people cannot just disappear off the face of the planet. We need to know, and will we ever know what happened to those poor passengers? I don't know, but if anyone's going to find out, it's you.
Of course.
So keep an eye on that.
I'll take care of this.
Keep an eye on that. Thank you, Sophie White, and we'll be right back after these.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.